Welcome to the worship service of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Yorktown. The following program was recorded Sunday morning, October 22nd.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of the announcements in your bulletin. There are a number of things that are going on, particularly concerning next week, and I think Rebecca has a few words to say about that.
Good morning. Next Sunday, we will be celebrating the 500th year celebration of the Reformation. During the Sunday school hour, we will be in the fellowship hall. The kids and grown-ups can all participate in the fun activities that we have. And then the Christian Life Committee will also be having a really yummy German-style meal. So I hope you'll all join us. Oh, also, those of you that have volunteered to be readers during the program next week, during the worship service, if you'll see me after church, I can give you your readings. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Are there other announcements? Anybody else with announcements this morning? If not, then I invite you to rise as you are so able, and we sing our gathering hymn. All of our hymns this morning are out of With One Voice, the Blue Hymnal, and we sing hymn number 690.
Thank you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord. Keep the words of the Lord in your heart. Teach them to your children. One does not live by bread alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me, forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve your works of mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with hymn 693.
The first lesson today is taken from Isaiah chapter 45. The prophet announces that Cyrus the Persian emperor is the one the Lord has anointed to end Israel's exile. The Lord makes this choice so that the whole world will recognize this Lord as the only God. Persia had a God of light and a God of darkness. The Lord claims sovereignty over both light and darkness. The reading. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue the nations before him and strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him, and the gates shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that this is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen. I call you by your name. I surname you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. The word of the Lord. Our psalm today is Psalm 96. We will read it responsively. I will read the light print, and the congregation will read the dark print. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth. Sing the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations and his wonders among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is more to be feared than all gods. As for all the gods of the nations, they are but idols, but it is the Lord who made the heavens. Oh, the majesty and magnificence of his presence. Oh, the power and the splendor of his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. Tell it among the nations, the Lord is king. He has made the world so firm that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder in all that is in it. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the woods shout for joy before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. The second lesson is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Most likely this letter is the first written by Paul. Paul is giving pastoral encouragement and reassurances to new Christians living in an antagonistic pagan environment. Their commitment of faith, love, and hope makes them a model for other new Christian communities. The reading: Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters beloved by God, that he has chosen you because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For in spite of persecution, you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in other places your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Oh. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children may come forward for the children's sermon.
Do any of you go to school? You go to school? You go to school? Well, in Vicar Hahn's reading just now in the Gospel, it was about a rule. Do you have rules at school? Can you tell me what some rules are? Walk in the hall. Is it in a straight line? Yeah, that's one rule. Any other rules? No talking in the hall. Okay. Any others? What? Listen to the teacher. Okay, so you have rules all around you. The book of Matthew that Vicar Hahn's just read from, that chapter is about rules. And during Jesus' time, they had many, many rules. So one day, the leaders of the church came to Jesus and they said, "Tell us, what is the most important rule?" Do you know what he said? He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And there's one more. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, why do you think he said, "Love God"? Why should we love God? He's our Father. He made us very good. He gave us this beautiful world to live in. He gave us pets to love. He gave us a special family. Yeah, that's easy to say we love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. But we're all supposed to love our neighbor. Now, what do you think that means? As yourself. Do you purposely go out and hurt yourself? No. Do you purposely say bad things about yourself? No. So Jesus is saying, if we're not going to do bad things to ourselves, we shouldn't do them to our friends. And then we're also showing honor and glory to God. So this one rule, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It takes care of all the other rules. If we love our neighbors and we want them to be safe, we're going to stay in a straight line in school, right? And if we raise our hand to speak, we're going to show honor to our teacher and our friends by being able to hear what they have to say also. So God's or Jesus' rule to us is thankfully the very best rule to follow. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the one rule that will lead us to your home. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
Grace to you and peace, brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. I think it's lost its ring. I would suspect that more than a few of us, if we were asked to repeat this line back tomorrow, would more than likely come up with, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And while this may sound like a comment about preferring one translation of the Bible over another, it is actually speaking to something that this text brings up. The idea that many of us could, in fact, come up with that line if someone asked us what the thing was that Jesus said about paying taxes, that doesn't mean we're all of one mind when it comes to how we think about tax policy in our country. The fact that we can come up with that line from St. Matthew's Gospel means that the Word of God is occupying space inside of our minds. And this is a good thing. Nowadays, the title is defined by the historic role of the leader, that is, the person who presides over the affairs of state, instead of what had been a family name that was later turned into a title. And because we don't call them Caesar or Kaiser or Czar or King, I'm not sure how much we think about what it means to render unto the emperor or the empire the things that are due to them. And I'm not sure that we can truly understand that without also asking what things it is that are God's, which we are called to give him. The Pharisees sent out their disciples, along with some Herodians, to ask Jesus a question, hoping that he would answer in such a way that they could justify using the power of the Roman state against him. Their hope was that in seeing this man who was so singularly focused on God, they could get him to publicly speak against Caesar, the kind of thing which could get a person killed. During all of Jesus' adolescent and adult life, Israel had always been under Roman occupation. So dealing with the manifestations of the state, the hard presence and extension of Caesar's power, was something that people in that part of the world were accustomed to. The Pharisees' question was not going to cause Jesus to stumble. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's, he said. He took a denarius in his hands, already beginning to make his point. And while some older translations mistook this for a penny, it was not that. It was much more. It represented a living wage for a day's labor, enough to provide for a family while a laborer went out in search of their next job. What it was a coin of truly substantive value. But in his hands, it became the least important thing. When Jesus had initially begun to answer this question, he began by addressing the questioners as hypocrites. They probably thought little of it coming from him, but it is a hypocrisy that we need to understand. As a particular hypocrisy, what Jesus had encountered was a group of people who were trying to use the power of the secular, non-religious state to deal with a religious disagreement. In the way that they were dealing with Christ, the hypocrisy of these people was quite pronounced, because all of these people were steeped in the scriptures and were students of God's law, which meant that all of these people knew and professed a belief that life was created by God and that life belonged to Him and not to the state, not to Caesar. So if they wanted to take a life, their appeal was never supposed to be to the state, but in their desire to take Jesus' life, that is exactly what they were trying to do. And their particular hypocrisy was part of a larger hypocrisy, and it's one that we need to pay attention to today. Their particular hypocrisy betrayed a larger problem. The problem of where our energies, our thoughts and our hearts and our minds are focused. Because just like them, it is not at all uncommon for a group of Christians to gather together in our day and age and for the topic of our conversation, the focus of our thoughts and energies, to turn to the political voices and the leaders in our country. It's almost as if we can't help but talk about something that one of them has said or done, or what they haven't said or done, but we wished they had, or we're glad that they haven't. It's not even a question of whether we are pleased or displeased with the president or Congress. It's the fact that the remnant of Caesar in our day is receiving far more from us than they are entitled to. Render unto Caesar is not actually the strongest part of Christ's statement to those who sought to entrap him. It is the back half of that sentence which is the part we really need to hear. Give to God the things that are God's. While that tax may belong to Caesar, even that is a limited commitment. Christ is encountered by these people in the temple who, it seems, are not thinking about or talking about or being about what God desires for them, their efforts and energies, their thoughts and conversations are all concerned with what the power of the state, what the government is doing, and whether or not they can receive a benefit from it. And Christ looks at them and tells them to render to God the things that are God's. Depending on the politician, or what they happen to have done in the last week, it seems that we or our friends, not to mention one or another news outlets, are ready to declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples at the first available opportunity. When that happens, we need to hear those words from the psalmist again and remember that they were only ever meant for God. And our psalm today does provide us a good reminder of how it is that our energy and effort, our thoughts and our minds and our time and our being are to be shaped. The call to us, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come into his courts, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, tremble before him all the earth. This is what we Christians are called to, because our salvation is in Christ. We have life and breath because of God our Creator, and it is our joy to declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples, and to sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Because in Christ, in his claim on our very lives, he has placed a limit on what we can render unto Caesar and what Caesar can rend from us. In Christ, we have received the blessed gift to freely give to God the things that are God's, because he has claimed us. And we are no longer bound to spend our time and our effort to define every conversation as a tribute to Caesar. In Christ, our lives get to be lived out to the glory of God. Every moment, every conversation, every interaction gets to be in and about him. It is a blessing that no Caesar, no emperor or empire could ever bestow on us. Amen. We continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 783. Please rise. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated as we continue with our offering.
Let us pray. Merciful God, in the
mystery of the Word made flesh,
you embrace our lives with your great love for humanity. With joy and gladness, we ask that these gifts may be for me a sign of that love,
and that we may continue to share in your love and life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the world, the church, and one another. Heavenly Father, Imprint the image of your dear Son upon the church. Conform its worship, teaching, fellowship, and acts of charity to his likeness. By faithful proclamation of your holy word and through right administration of your holy sacraments, grant that the church may lead many people from vain idols to life-giving trust in you, the true and only God. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our fellow Christians who suffer persecution. By their faithful witness, lead their enemies to repentance and amendment of life. Lord, in your mercy. Help this congregation to render to you all honor, glory, worship, and praise. Help us to render to one another the kindness, forgiveness, and compassion. Lord, in your mercy. As you anointed Cyrus to accomplish your will for Israel when it was captive, we ask that you anoint the leaders of this and every nation upon earth. Equip them to do whatever accomplishes your will for all who are captives to injustice, poverty, or violence. And teach all of us to put our trust in you above all earthly powers, technology, knowledge, or privilege. Lord, in your mercy. We plead on behalf of all who are afflicted by pain, sorrow, turmoil, or any other assault of the evil one. Come to their aid, heal all that is wounded, and restore them to wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. Especially we lift before you Joyce Lamprecht and David Walter. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, continue in us that work begun at our baptism, which fashions us into the blessed likeness of your dear Son. Grant us faith through your Holy Spirit to commend ourselves, one another, and our whole lives to Christ our Lord. And by his merits, bring us into that eternal kingdom where we shall see him face to face and shall behold his image in the faces of everyone whom you have redeemed by his blood. Lord, in your mercy. For Jesus' sake, grant the fulfillment of all we ask that conforms to your holy will. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 651.
Thank you.
as you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Amen.